Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Welcome back. Scott Hamilton Show on a Panic Monday. We'll dive deeper into this. The ACC needs to be panicking. It's not going to make the playoff. It's gone. It's done. First time. Done. First time the ACC will not be in the playoff.
Wow.
And if I'm a coach, if I'm a college football coach, you know, it's like the real estate market. I mean, think about it. We've got people selling homes just because they can get so daggone much for it now, who otherwise would say, well, I don't want to sell. But right. Then you say, well, dude, you can make this much. Well, maybe I want to sell after all. Well, so maybe there are some coaches that might pick up and move because they'll get their salary doubled or whatever. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Who does Florida get? I mean, Florida had to do it to get ahead of it. It got to the point where, you know, if you want to get someone – they're going to have to make the move now. Now, it's my understanding they gave Dan Mullen till after this week. They were going to let him coach out the Florida State game. He said, no, I'll be a distraction. Y'all go ahead. Good luck.
Okay.
Which I wish they'd bring back Spurrier just for this game.
Just for one game.
Just let him stand there, slam the visor, do Spurrier stuff, yeah. You know, be good. But where does Florida go now? Where does LSU go now? And then, of course, and I've told you this, young Trent, the domino effect that's going to follow.
Right.
It's not about these two jobs. It's about the 50 other jobs that are going to be impacted by all this. Not just head coaches, but assistant coaches.
Absolutely.
It's incredible
what
happens when there are jobs like this that come open. Joining us now to say Tama Hotline, he covers the Southeastern Conference for the USA Today Network. Blake Topmeyer, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I am well, bud. And, you know, Blake, this isn't so much a question for you, but a statement. I mean, this was fast, man. What happened at Florida was fast. They were a college football playoff contender last year, a top 10 team less than 2 months ago. You know, I thought Ed Orgeron's fall from grace was fast, but then Dan Mullen says, hold my beer. Wow.
Yeah, it's a reminder of just how quickly in today's college football things can change. You know, it used to be, I feel like it took really two bad seasons to change the narrative on someone. You almost got a free pass just off a single bad season, but no longer. And with Dan Mullen, it really took about a bad month and a half to change the narrative on him. And I think we're at a point now where you can be right about a coach and still have to fire him. Like, I don't know that Florida was wrong on Dan Mullen, certainly not at the time they hired him. I think Dan Mullen was one of the best coaches on the market that offseason. I actually think Florida did well to miss out on Scott Frost and Chip Kelly, their other two top candidates that offseason. I think of those three, Dan Mullen was the best choice. And yet, in the end, they still wound up firing him, and that's just sort of the world we live in college football right now. Is you can make a decent hire and still have to fire the guy years later.
And before we look forward, Blake, let's figure out what's next for Dan Mullen. What do you do if you're Dan Mullen? Where do you go? Do you go ahead and make that leap to the NFL where you don't have to worry about recruiting? Can he be a Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who can actually fail upward, get a head coaching job at the next level?
I think there's a possibility, yes. And if you're Dan Mullen, I think you need to be really selective at this point. Like, you know, I mean, heck, he's getting a $12 million buyout. He doesn't need to just jump right in if he doesn't see the right fit. You know, some guys they're so eager. They want to get back into coaching. They don't know anything else. It's like just give them an opening, and they're jumping into it. And they're willing to be Nick Saban's secretary for a few years, if that's what it means. Butch Jones was Nick Saban's secretary for 3 years, intern, as Nick called him. But I don't think Dan Mullen needs to do that because I think he does still have a lot to offer, and he should be selective, whether that be an NFL opportunity. I think that would be ideal for Dan Mullen. Or, you know, I'm not convinced he's done in the college game, but he's got to be selective if he does this. I mean, like when we saw, you know, Will Muschamp get in there and use his second chance on South Carolina. I didn't think that was maybe that was the only second chance Will Muschamp was going to get at that point. But it's like, you know, I think Dan Mullen can probably afford to be super selective. And if something does not set him up for success, don't take it, because this might be the last time you're ever this marketable again.
Joined by Blake Topmeyer, USA Today Network. Follow him on Twitter at @BTopmeyer. And Blake, how far has Florida fallen? I mean, this should be a destination job. There should be just incredible stability and continuity within this football program. But here we are. They're going to make their fourth coaching hire in eight seasons. Is this still a destination job? What does Florida need to do to really promote itself as, hey, we're still the Gators. We can get back to where we were. We're going to make the right hire. What can they do to ease the minds of their boosters and their fans?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely a destination job. You look back to when Dan Mullen took this job. Florida was coming off of a 4-7 season in 2017. They had talent, you know, in the cupboard that he inherited. But you know what he stepped into was a team that had a bad year, and then three straight New Year's Six bowl games. I mean, I think that's, you know, we see some of the rebuilds going on around in the SEC. You look at what Shane Beamer's doing at South Carolina. Nobody expected Shane Beamer to win 10 games this year. What he's done, you know, that gets high marks. Not every rebuild is created equal. When it comes to Florida, I think that's a job, that's a situation where you can expect someone to step in there and start having immediate success. And I do think, you know, is Florida as good of a job as LSU? I would say probably not. Some people maybe could make that argument. I don't think so. LSU, I mean, it's the only Power 5 program in its state. LSU produces a lot of talent, maybe not the number of prospects as Florida, but, you know, Louisiana is producing a lot of talent, and if you want to stay in the state, you're playing for LSU. I think, you know, with the success that LSU has consistently had in the last 20 years, I think LSU is among the top probably three or four jobs in college football. Florida, I don't know that I rank it that high. I mean, essentially, they've had two great coaches in program history, and Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer. However, I think it's a top 10 job in college football, and that's a pretty dang good job. The problem in this coaching carousel, though, is you've got multiple top 10 jobs open at the same time when you run down the list of LSU, Florida, USC. I mean, as you guys were talking about in the open there, I mean, it's about as competitive as I can really remember in an offseason. And that's before you even get to places that are still pretty good jobs like Washington, TCU, Virginia Tech. Like, there is, you know, there's going to be a lot of elbowing around here. And it's a good time to be a coach whose stock is on the rise, because you can get multiple programs bidding on you.
Well, that leads me to my next question, Blake. Can Florida, and I don't know if humble is the right word, but maybe it is the correct word, maybe retrain its thinking. Can you see them going after a Group of Five coach, a Billy Napier, a Jamie Chadwell, somebody who's made their bones anywhere but as a P5 head coach?
Well, I think Florida would be foolish if Billy Napier is not at least on the short list, because Billy Napier has spent time in the Power 5 world. He's spent time in the SEC world, not as a head coach, but as you guys know, I mean, this is someone who's worked for both Dabo Sweeney as an offensive coordinator, and then worked as an assistant under Nick Saban at Alabama. I mean, there's not that many guys running around out there that have head coaching experience and that worked under both Dabo and Saban. He's proven himself at Louisiana Lafayette, as most of us know it. They prefer to just go by Louisiana. But that's a program that did not have a lot of history, really, before Billy Napier got there. I mean, they weren't rattling off a 9-10 win seasons, and then all Billy Napier's done since he got there is win football games. And he's going to play for the Sun Belt Championship yet again this year. It's like an annual rite of passage. Billy Napier plays in the Sun Belt Championship. Now, maybe this year he'll win one. But, yeah, if you want to look to the Group of Five, for me, I mean, I guess Luke Fickell's the name, right? And we almost don't even consider him Group of Five anymore, particularly with Cincinnati planning to move to Power Five. But You know, the names we really think of as Group of Five, I think Billy Napier would be someone that Florida absolutely needs to consider.
What about Hugh Freeze? Has he been sanitized, cleansed enough to come back to the Southeastern Conference?
I don't think so. No. I think for fans, sure. I think for fans that, you know, want to see exciting offense and, you know, just look at a guy's wins and losses, sure. He's paid his debt, and it's time to bring him back. I think within the administrator community, I think there's probably still a lot of hesitancy when it comes to Hugh Freeze. And when I say administrators, you know, when it comes to hiring a head football coach, you don't just have to convince the athletic director. You've got to convince all the way up to the head of the university or the university system. And I think Hugh Freeze remains a difficult sell for a lot of those folks.
And Blake, before we let you go, and I'm hoping you can get where I'm going with this one as well. Can you see this as maybe being a play to first of all, they're getting Florida into the market, get the best available coach possible, salvage what they can from the early signing period. But can you also see this firing maybe forcing Miami's hand for the fear that Florida might go after Mario Cristobal? Miami doesn't want to miss out, so they go ahead and make a change after this week, and then they themselves go after Cristobal.
Well, yeah, look, if you're Miami and you think you got a shot at Mario Cristobal, I'm not sure that what Florida does should influence you one way or the other. I think if you got a shot at Mario Cristobal and you're Miami, you need to go out and get him. And sure, yeah, now that Florida's in the mix, maybe that applies some pressure. But he's a name. You know, we've now touched on a couple of the names that I would have on Florida's short list. For me, I think the big three for Florida is Lane Kiffin, Billy Napier, and Mario Cristobal. Now, I don't share a direct line to Scott Strickland's way of thinking. I'm not going to say that. However, I'd be surprised if those aren't three names on his short list. They absolutely should be, and Mario Cristobal is a name that obviously would overlap with Miami, and that's what we're going to find in a lot of these coaching searches, even some of these jobs that aren't yet open but that we think will open, is you're going to find a lot of the same names at the top of these lists, and that's what I was saying, like, it's a good time to be Lane Kiffin right now. It's a good time to be Mario Cristobal right now or Billy Napier right now. Like, these guys could have multiple big-time programs calling their agent, you know, kicking the tires, seeing how interested they are. So you either use it as leverage at your own employer, get yourself some more scratch there, or you leave for greener pastures. I don't know that it's a great time to be in the hiring market because there's so much competition. It's like you said with the housing market. You want to buy a house? Good luck. You better have money in hand ready to slap downside unseen. But it's a good time to be wanting to sell your house, or it's a good time to be a head football coach who's on the rise right now and really marketable. And I think Mario Cristobal, not just for what he's doing on the field, but the way he recruits. Oregon's signing class last year was the top-rated class in Oregon history. I think he's someone that, yes, Florida would be wise to look at. And if Miami opens, as many of us expect, I would think Mario Cristobal's heading that list.
Excellent insight from Blake Topmeyer, USA Today. You can follow him on Twitter at BTopmeyer. Blake, again, excellent insight, pal. Appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All righty. It's Blake Topmeyer joining us on this Saitama Hotline.